Ephesians chapter 3. Bet you wish I'd move on. And I'm going to eventually, but not today. Paul was praying for the churches. This letter was written to churches rather than to Ephesus, singular, according to historians. And he said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So we're talking about not fainting, not giving up, not relinquishing, not being distressed. Let distress and sadness conquer us. Most of the translations use the word discouragement. Well, if you've ever been to the doctor, you could be discouraged. If you've ever faced your insurance company, you could be discouraged. But there's an answer to discouragement, to sadness, to distress, and it's very clear in the scripture. Now, Paul says, "For this cause I'm praying for you." The cause is he doesn't want them to be distressed. He doesn't want them to be discouraged, and he's praying three things. He's praying about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in their human spirit, and that Spirit giving them extra strength. We've talked about that. He's talking about Christ, who dwells in our heart by faith. So he's talking about the impact of the Word of God in your spirit. And then he's talking about the law of love, which we will probably get to next week. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees." You notice his posture. Now, you don't have to be on your knees, but your heart has to be bowed to know that God is your answer. If you're ever distressed, I've talked to a lot of people over the years who were just distressed and afraid. There's a lot of fear. Wayne periodically has a medical procedure, and you have to hold your hands over your head for 45 minutes and don't move. He gets kind of distressed. He's not very good at not moving. But there's an answer for distress. There's an answer for sadness. There's an answer for discouragement. He said it begins with the Spirit. The Spirit in the human spirit. Now, the Spirit has some divine assignments, and one is to teach you. It says he teaches you all things. So the revelation, the understanding that comes to me comes from the Spirit of God who dwells in me. The day I was born again, I was made a new creature, and the Holy Ghost came to dwell in me, and I now have eternal life. And I look to the Spirit to explain. I'm not trying to figure things out, per se. I'm reading and reading and reading and reading until the light comes on. And the word light is used in the 119th Psalm. The light comes on. It says, like a door that opens, and the light comes into your heart. And you say, "Oh, I see that." God wants us to know and to understand. And sometimes it takes more than a 5-minute reading every day. It takes some time to sit with the Lord. And that's what it means to wait upon the Lord, to sit with the Lord. It says to renew your strength. There is in sitting with the Lord great strength. And the scripture compares that, Isaiah 42, the eagle. And said the eagle mounts up. Well, he gets an air current. You don't see air currents. He can't see air currents. But he senses the air current. He gets in the air current, stretches out his wings, and he floats until that air current moves on, and then he moves to another one. And if anybody bothers him, he faces the sun. And he's one of the only animals that can fly directly into the sun. The others can't. So he knows that place of safety. And your place of safety is in the Word and in the Spirit. And it's waiting on God. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you and to magnify the Word in you. Once you have something by revelation, it's there for eternity. It just never goes away. You just remember. Now, when you try to figure something out and you think you have figured it out, sometimes next day you can't remember. Have you ever done that? You think, what was that? I think I understood that. But when the Holy Ghost comes, teaches you all things, it says, and brings all things to your remembrance. That's in John 14. And the older you get, the more important that is. Yes. Brings all things to your remembrance. I know you're like me. You stood in front of the refrigerator and you can't remember why you were there. You ever done that? Well, we're glad for that. And then it says in John 16, he guides you into truth. You know, Daniel Moon was a guide through the wilderness. And sometimes this book looks like a wilderness to us. And the Holy Spirit just guides us through. So step by step, we begin to understand. And he leads us to the place that we should understand, the place that's best for us today. And it's not that you understand the entire scripture. You know the passage that he's placed on your heart for today. There's a scripture for today. There's reading for today. Now, I'm not against reading the Bible through. A lot of people do that very successfully. But I'm more into reading the passage that the Holy Ghost places on your heart for today. There is scripture that he wants you to conquer today. There is scripture with an answer for you, and he's going to guide you into scripture. And scripture is always true. Always true. So God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? My favorite, 1 Kings 8:56 says, there not fail one word of all his promise. Amen. Well, a lot of times we fail by one word. We don't think anything about that. We're not as keen on honesty as we think we are. And we'll tell a child, we'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, it's not convenient, something comes up. And so you say, well, we'll do that Monday. And the only word that changed was tomorrow to Monday. You failed by one word. Now, the importance of that is not for you. It's for you to understand that God says, every single word I've spoken comes to pass, word by word. Never fail in any word.
Amen.
So if I have the scripture that God's anointed for me that day, if I'm reading that scripture and it begins to, we use the expression, it dawns on me. Mm-hmm. You know, if I tell you how to get to my house and I tell you there's this, well, it used to be a pink building. Now I think it's a green building. I tell you where that is. And I said, you go straight there and then you turn right here. And you said, I just don't remember seeing that. And I said, okay, when you come down the Bartow Highway, there's a daycare center. It's painted bright pink. It's next, just past Cumbie Road. And you said, well, I must not have been paying attention. And said, oh, I've seen that. That's next to that church. It dawned on you. See, and as you read the scripture over and over again, the revelation you get, it will dawn on you what God is saying to you, what you need to hear, what's going to anchor you. And when you don't faint, and this is what Paul's emphasis is, I don't want you to faint. When you faint, you're not aware of your surroundings. And he said, I want you to be totally aware of the surroundings, and it doesn't bother you at all, because the Word of God is planted in you by the Spirit, and you know. Now, sometimes I ask, I have in the past, what healing scripture are you camped on? Well, for a long time for me, it was Exodus 23. I just camped there over and over and over again, went over it and over it. For the last several years, I do Isaiah 53 regularly. All, 12 verses or so? I do it all the time. If I have a moment of pain, a moment of distress, I go right back to Isaiah 53. I have all the translations on verse 1, many translations on verse 1 altogether, and I read all of those in verse 1. Then I go to verse 2 and read all those translations. And some days, one translation, I always start with the King James. But after that, because the King James is more accurate than the others, are not translations, actually they're paraphrases. And I always start there, and then I read all the others, and sometimes just one word in some translation makes sense. It anchors me. It lights up in my heart, and I can hold fast to that. See, the Word and the Spirit is where your answer is. Your answer is not in coming to me. Now, I will anchor with you. I'm the best anchor person I know, because I don't give up. One lady, we anchored on a house. She told me what street it was on. She told me the Lord said that was her house. They had made a bid on it, and I anchored. And it was weeks later, somebody said, oh, so-and-so moved over to, and it was a different street. I said, wait a minute. What happened to the house on this street? See, I still anchored. I can anchor. Your friends can anchor with you. But you have to do your part. You have to do something. You have to. I appreciate a little lady came to me. Her friend wanted to be a Christian, but she said, I don't know what to tell her. Well, as sad as that is, I was glad to help her. I'm thrilled to help you. I anchor with you. I remember it for weeks and weeks and go over it and over it and thank the Lord just as I'm walking in the house that he's working mightily on your case, on whatever was important to you. And if I get a word from the Lord, which sometimes I do, I will send it to you. I will text it to you. My brother's had surgery, and we've been texting and sending music. He has had to stay some by himself, which he's not very good at. And so we send him music, and I sent him the other day. I said, good morning, happy fourth day healed.
Amen. Amen.
And he says, thank you. Because he's been in so much pain. I'm anchored with him. He is going to fully recover. I'm anchored with you. I remember your request. And when it comes back to me, but you have a part of the Word and the Spirit to add to what I can do. You see that. Now, unless God gives you a gift, and I love that. So just send it to me. As you know, you can wait for a gift and it doesn't come. because he wants you to use your faith. We don't dictate the gift, but we can always, always, always move by faith. Now it says, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's in verse 16. Two things he wants. He wants you to be strong by the Spirit. The way we're strong by the Spirit is to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's in Jude. Build ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're not praying for somebody. You're just praying and strengthening yourself, strengthening your own heart, strengthening your own spirit so that you can stand. And that's a resource that we need to take advantage of. And at my house, we have a 6-foot island, and we walk around and around that island. And when my family gets so distressed, I said, just come to the house and walk around the island. That's what I do. I walk around and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, however long it takes, because you do not have to put up with sadness. You don't have to put up with distress or discouragement or pain, because God has the answer in the Word and by the Spirit. And he said, if you'd get in the Spirit, I could help you. Amen. And we're kind of inclined, well, me too. I just go to Wayne. I said, Wayne, I can't breathe. that was true one day. And he's a great helper. We twain are one flesh. And so he can stand with me and stand for me because we are one flesh. But it helps if I'm helping him help me. You know that? And then it talks about the Word and the place of the Word. Now, look at John 16. I want to show you something about the Spirit before we go to the Word. This is where it says he guides you into truth. It's verse 13. And then it says he shows you things to come. He shows you things to come. Now, the work of the Spirit is vast, and he's available to every Christian, and he dwells in you. Thank you, dear. I know that one day my brother was a seminary student in Texas, and on a Thursday or Friday, my heart said, he's going to die. I knew it as well as I knew my name. And I prayed Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and I couldn't get over that. And so Monday, I called my friend. I said, are you busy? Come to the house. We have to pray for my brother. Well, as well-meaning as she was, she said, well, he's just probably going to die to self. Do you know there is no such thing? That's a religious misnomer. Self is the new spirit with eternal life. It's not supposed to die. It's supposed to be magnified and live. Yes. The flesh is supposed to die. The flesh is supposed to, you're not supposed to be led by the flesh. The flesh dies. Self is the spirit, and the spirit lives on and lives with God and follows God. So Monday we prayed as long as we could, and I said, that's all I can do. That's all I can do. So Tuesday morning my mother calls and she says, Philip's been in an accident. And she said, now, he's all right. He's all right. They totaled the car. Couldn't be rescued. A lady ran a red light or a stop sign and broadsided him on the driver's side. And they were able to get him out, and he was fine. He was not even hardly bruised. Well, I said, why didn't your prayer keep that accident from happening? I don't know. But I did my part. I did what I could do. And then my daddy bought him a car in Florida and drove it all the way to Texas, and he hated that car. He never said a word except to me, but he did not ever like that little red car, he would say. You know? But he went forward. He survived the little red car. He was alive. He was uninjured. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you to help you, and he's going to tell you, how about Exodus 23 today? Or how about Psalms 91 today? How about Isaiah 53 today? If he doesn't say anything, do what you want to. He doesn't speak every day. He speaks audibly, but not always. Sometimes seldom. But you just have an inkling. I start reading something and I know that is not it. That is not the passage of Scripture. I will show you today what the Scripture will do for you from the 119th Psalm. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But sometimes where I start reading, I think, oh, no, I'm not reading that. I've been in Ephesians for a long time, reading and reading and reading Ephesians. And one day you open to Ephesians and you think, huh, there's no anointing in Ephesians. There's no anointing in me for Ephesians. I'm following the Spirit because the Spirit is following me. The Spirit is leading me. The Spirit is telling me what I need so that I don't have to be sad, discouraged, depressed, fearful. Isaiah 41 says, fear thou not, I'm with you. Part of the way he's with us is in his word and in his spirit. Fear thou not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. That's sad, depressed, discouraged. I am God. Now, if he's God and he's not doing anything, go ahead and be dismayed. He said, be not dismayed, I'm God. And then he says, I'll help you. Yes. Then he says, I'll uphold you. Yes. Do you remember, some of you are not old enough, you remember the olden days when the kids stood between the mother and daddy in the front seat? And when the daddy put on brakes, my mother went, blam! Yeah, she'd knock you clear out with that left hand. She was upholding me because I'm just standing there. Which should never have been legal, by the way, so we're glad for safety preventions. God said, I'm going to uphold you. He said, I know that. I said, I know you're here. I know you're helping me. I know I have no reason to be afraid. Because every word he said comes to pass. Every word. Now, there was two men that went to a meeting, two pastors went to a meeting, and they had a private plane back. And when they got to the airport, one minister refused to get on. He says, I can't. He said, we need to wait till tomorrow. And he tried to talk the other minister into it. He said, let's don't fly out today. And he said, no, it's my daughter's birthday. I'm flying. You stay if you want to. I'm going home. Well, the plane came down. He died. Everybody on the plane died. You see, following the Spirit is extremely important because he knows what you don't know. Sometimes the mess I'm in, the mess you're in, is because I wasn't listening. You got that? You ever not listened? Your hindsight comes back and you think, oh, wow, that wasn't good. Now look at Hebrews 4, I believe. I want you to see the power and authority of the Word and the Spirit who plants the Word in your heart, who helps you see and understand the Word. And the Spirit and the Word are the first two resources that Paul gives that's going to keep you from being discouraged. If the Spirit is leading you and you have the Word and you're meditating in that passage and the Spirit is bringing you the understanding of the Word which endures forever, which every single word will come to pass, and you have no reason to be distressed. Now, says verse 12, the word of God is quick, which is the word living. You know, you cut your nail down into the quick. That's the only way I've ever heard that word used. And it says the word of God is living and powerful. The Amplified said it's alive, full of power, active, operative, energizing, and effective. Do you see the strength of the word? That means I looked all his work. That means the word is active and working. It's operative, producing results. It's energetic, giving you strength. It's effective, producing results. Amen. You don't think that would do it? Amen. Don't you think that would work? I think it would work. This is a good verse. The Lord will lead you back to verses. There'll be verses. We were part in the Baptist church of a group that memorized scripture. And to this day, there's some of those verses that I can still quote. They still come back to me in the Spirit, and I know I remember where they are. One was Psalms 1, and there were several others, and they come back to me regularly because the Word of God is full of power, and the Spirit of God is always going to lead you to the Word. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God are going to be your anchor when you're sad, depressed, discouraged, uptight, strung out. You know what all those words mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what's the opposite of short-suffering?
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. Mm-hmm. You know the difference? Ah, she can't do that to me. Will you turn that TV off? It's too loud. Shut those children down. This is why I have glass doors, part of my house. I just close them dudes out. That would be Wayne and I. I'm in one room reading and praying, and he's in the other room on the computer, usually reading a sermon or something. God is good, but he doesn't lead us at the same time in the same passage, so we have to have different spots of meditation. But I don't like to be shut in a room and not know what everybody else is doing. Now, that don't bother you, it bothers me. So I have these wonderful French doors, and I can look from my chair. Right over there is Wayne in the next room, and I think, he's still reading that sermon. Okay. And we're separately together, following the Spirit. The Spirit leads him much different than he leads me. We've been married shortly 59 years, and I can tell you, we do things differently. separately together. That's what I call it. Now, if the word is quick and powerful, seems like we ought to go where the power is, to the word. Now, if your electricity went off, you know, hurricane came through and blew you out for 7 days, that's about what we do, because we're at the end of the Polk City line. In Lakeland, we're at the end of the Polk City line, and when it goes off in Polk City, when they get all of Polk City off, then they come and turn us back on. And we're always the last. And you can flip that switch and flip that switch and flip that switch, but it's not coming on. It's not connected. And sometimes the reason that you can't get over it, the diagnosis, the pain, the trauma, the surgery, is because your spirit is not turned on by the word, because you didn't put the word in. You know, what you don't put in your belly doesn't come out anywhere. Now, we have this banana bush that produces bananas. And the wind blew the big bunch of bananas, about like that long. The wind blew the branch off. So Wayne brings it in inside, outside on the bench, and he gives it a bunch to everybody that comes through, you know. And we've been sitting watching those, watching them, watching. They were green, 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 green. And then they started turning slightly yellow. And then the day I said, these two are ripe. We brought those in and we ate those. They didn't do us a dab of good looking at them. It was the eating of them. Now, when Wayne was in the military, this lady wanted me to bake her husband apple pie because she didn't know how and she wanted to impress him. So she sewed Wayne stripes on, which I couldn't do. I didn't have a machine. I couldn't have done it if I had a machine. So what you don't have, you can't use. What you have and don't use won't help you. You got that? So she sewed stripes on. She had a little boy. He was about 3. And they had a big Bible, big thick Bible, family Bible, on the bottom shelf. And he'd go over there and he'd go like this and say, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. Well, she had taught him. She's trying to teach him to respect the Bible, but she went about it the wrong way. See, there's a right way and a wrong way to add to your heart, to add to your spirit. Now, so the word is alive. Now, Psalms 1 says meditate day and night. That means you're in a continual mode of listening to the Spirit. No matter what you're doing, you're very close to the Spirit and the word. See, God will even wake you up during the night. I always wonder, I thought, this better be real important. Actually, I don't sleep at night so it doesn't matter. I'm usually awake, and I do answer my phone at 3 a.m. I have done that. We will help you night and day. But your first resource is the Spirit and the Word of God. And if you call me at 3 a.m., I'm going to say, what scripture are you standing on? And sometimes you have to have somebody read it to you. I say, Wayne, find me Isaiah 53. And he will. He'll read it to me. It's wonderful. You have to have a 3 a.m. person. Have I said that forever? Forever? Does everybody, if I ask you who your 3 a.m. person, you'd know who you can call at 3 a.m. in case you don't have a Wayne come with you anywhere in the house? And the dog doesn't count. I'm just telling you, I like dogs, but he doesn't count. Now, we're going to meditate day and night. That's what Psalms 1 says. I'm going to be in continual meditation. Now, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Depart from your mouth is the term of meditation. Meditation is more than thinking, it's speaking. In other words, I'm talking to myself. That's what meditation is. It's a murmuring or talking to yourself. So this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate day and night that you may observe to do. Meditation, observe and do. See, and I don't know what to do until I've meditated. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done something you thought would work and didn't work? Mm-hmm. So it obviously wasn't God, because it's been God. And that doesn't mean it'll work today or tomorrow. That means I know it's God, and I know what that scripture says, and I'm reading it every day, or I'm reading it on the hour. One person held their Bible open to their scripture and said every time they passed their Bible, they'd stop and read that one scripture. They made sure that night and day, what the Lord was dealing with them about was active in their mind, in their spirit, in their heart. That's amazing, isn't it? See, that's your answer. That's your answer. Well, you know, if the doorbell rings and we don't have a doorbell, but you just have a door knocker. And if somebody knocks on the door and we don't go to the door, we don't know why they came. Our doors are glass. I believe in vision. I can look out there and see, huh, I don't know who that is. I said, Wayne, do you know who that is? But if God begins to knock on your heart, begins to stir you, and you don't answer, then your loss is your fault. Everybody's done that. That doesn't point finger at anybody. Everybody's done that, including me. And so we're going to meditate day and night that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's big, isn't it? We're going to do everything written. Well, that's the goal. And you know when you'll get there? When we all get to heaven. But you're not going to quit trying. You're not going to quit observing the word. Now take your sheet. This is from the 119th Psalm. We're not going to read all of these. The word of God is what rescues you. We use the 119th Psalm. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, followed by the 117th, which is the shortest in the Bible. He says, my soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word. The word quicken is always the word life. My soul cleaves to the dust. Now the NET says, I collapse in the dirt. In other words, my dilemma is just about to get to me. I'm just about to fall out. Revive me with your word. My life clings to the dust. Give me life by your word. The life of God, the word is living. Hebrews 4, the word is living. And the life of God is in the word. And if you're about to faint and fall out and cleave to the dust, collapse. I like the word collapse in the NET. If you're about to collapse, the first thing you do is find the word. Or find your 3 a.m. person and say, read me Isaiah 53. Y'all don't have a 3 a.m. You do have a 3 a.m. person. If I call them, they would know you. Huh? You don't have a 3? Your brother won't help you?
Oh, yes.
And he lives at your house? Or you live at his house? I forget how that goes. He lives at your house.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's older than you are. That's amazing. Now look, unless your law had been my delight. Do you see that word delight? In other words, I've got this dilemma, and the first thing that really makes me happy is opening the word and reading my answer over and over. That makes me so happy. I love that. No, it's what you do. I don't know what we'll ever do. Wayne, my hip is killing me. And every time I say that, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to use that expression. That's killing me. I must have brought that from my childhood. We didn't curse. Nobody in our family cursed. I never heard anybody curse. A lot of things didn't happen. But this is killing me. Must have happened a lot because I still have it in my heart and I have to uproot it all the time. I said, it's not killing me. I'm the healed of the Lord, blessed of God. Every fear thou not. And when we fall into any fear, any distraught, any distress, what we do is we say something dumb. And anytime you say something dumb, you've planted something in the soil. You've planted a seed in the soil that's going to begin to grow. Your words will grow. That's why it's important that your word is God's word, that you're growing the right thing. Now it says, unless your law had been my delights. The English says, if your teaching had not made me happy, then my great sadness would have destroyed me. Have you ever been so sad you thought you couldn't ever recover? No? Yes? Sad? Collapsing in the dirt? We were talking about children that eat dirt. You ever know a child that ate dirt? Some brilliant person just published that that's a vitamin deficiency. That's why they do that. We don't have any idea if that's true, but one thing we know, God's word is true. And do you think God wants you face down in the dirt? He wants you to collapse. He wants you to be so sad you can't go on. He does not. And he said, quicken me by the word. And sometimes, you know, I don't have to open my Bible. Just a word comes to me. If it doesn't come to me, I'll be calling you. I said, give me a word. And then it says, I'm afflicted very much. Look at the NET. I'm suffering terribly. You ever been there? No? Yes? I'm suffering. I'm about to collapse. And all three of these said, quicken me by the word. Said, quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Revive me with your word. I think we've shortchanged the word just a little bit. We read the word every day. We feel obligated. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why some people come to church. Because you're supposed to be here. No, we come to worship the King of Glory. Mm-hmm. We come to worship. We come together with the family of God and lift up holy hands, hands that He's made holy, and begin to worship Him. Take eyes off of me and off of my dilemma and onto the King who can quicken me. You see that? Sometimes we did the right thing with the wrong motive. You understand that? Now look, the word comforts. Well, rescue's enough for me if it just rescued me. But it comforts, and it says, I remember your ancient regulations. Now, for us, Old Testament's pretty ancient. New Testament's even ancient. And console myself. He consoled himself with the promise of the word. No, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call Mabel. And I said, Mabel, you'll never guess what's happened. One lady told me a story, and I saw her twice. And later she said, oh, have I ever told you? I said, yes, we discussed that. And she told me again. She had to tell me twice. As much as I'm sympathetic and I am a great listener, it didn't help her to tell me twice. She's rehearsing. The rehearsal is of the word, and it's the word that comforts, the word that brings life. And when I know the word, and I'm repetitive in the word. Well, how many apples have you eaten in your lifetime? What if the Lord said to you, don't ever eat another apple any day of your life? See, sometimes we neglect the scripture like it wasn't going to help us. Well, I'm fussing at you, Dad, I guess. Fussing at me. Yahweh, when I think about your regulations, the rules you gave us long ago, I'm comforted and encouraged. Would you like in your dilemma to be encouraged? Would you like to be unafraid? Your answer is in the Word and by the Spirit. And the Spirit leads you to the Word. And the Spirit teaches the Word. The Spirit guides you through the Word. The Spirit shows you things to come. Shows you things to come does not mean he explains the tribulation and the end time events, though he might. It does mean that, but it means he shows me about tomorrow. The word brings mercy. I love that. Our family, somebody in our family, and it just sticks in your heart, the things that you shouldn't remember, merciful forgiveness. And the way they said it, you thought, they didn't mean that. Let your mercies come to me, O Lord, even your salvation. According to where does mercy come from? It comes from the word. It comes from the cross. It comes from the shed blood. If I need mercy, I need the word and I need the spirit, because it's the spirit and the word that quickens me. The spirit explains and the word quickens. And the more I read the word, the more I understand, the happier I get. I had a terrible dilemma years ago. I can't even remember what it was. And I went around I must have done 5 miles around my kitchen island, around and around. And all of a sudden something hit me. I couldn't remember what I was praying about. I tried to remember what I was distressed about. But see, I'd been quickened. It was gone, totally gone. Well, somebody asked me, was so-and-so your friend? I said, oh, yeah. I said, when's the last time you saw her? I don't ever see you with her. I said, well, no, you wouldn't see me with her. And she said, why? I couldn't remember why that was. I said, one day, I said, I don't know. I don't remember. Because the Spirit and the Word was working mightily in me. And God said, you don't need to remember that. Forget it. Well, don't keep your mind turned off. Save me as you promised. That's the CEV. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful according to your word. Mercy comes from the word. Comfort comes from the word by the Spirit. Rescue comes and life comes through the word. That means I take time. I set aside some other things. You know, if you get really hungry and you have a lot to do, has that ever happened to you? And you think, I'm starving. You're going to set aside everything that you thought you had to accomplish, they thought you were going to do, to find something to eat. Aren't you? Seeing the word is a priority. It's just a priority. And if we magnify the word, we're in line for comfort, for mercy, for complete rescue. Now, number four is hope. Remember thy word to thy servant, which upon which thou hast caused me to hope is your expectation. It's the goal that you set. It's the thing that God wants for you. Hope is always tomorrow. If you're saying I'll be healed tomorrow, you'll never be healed today. If you're saying this will happen to me soon or tomorrow, it will not happen now because you just pushed it down the calendar, which everybody does, including me. The only reason I know these things about you is because I've done them myself. And that's the truth. Hope is expectation. It's defined sometimes as expectation of future blessing. But hope has to become faith. Well, you have to have hope. You have to have a goal. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. So if I have a goal, I have hope. Then I find the promise of God, and every word that God speaks comes true. So if I have a hope, a goal, and I have a promise of God that guarantees that God has already paid for that, then I'm set up, I'm anchored, saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, if I went to the store and bought you your favorite quilt that I know that you have wanted and wanted and wanted, your favorite comforter, but you wouldn't buy it because it was $500, which who could blame you for that? But I'm a very wealthy person, and I can buy a $500 quilt. And so I said, I buy this. This is the lady's name and the phone number. You call her and tell her it's here and it's paid for, and you leave my name out of it. She says, fine. And she calls you. Now, how long would it take you to get there? You wouldn't be saying, I meant to go get it. I meant to read the word. I was going to pray. No, now is the day of salvation. Now. Now is the day of salvation. Scripture says, now. When is now? It's now. It's right this minute. So we have this marvelous hope. Now I want you to read the bottom one on this because it's cute. It said, I prevented the dawning of the morning. Now, you're like me. I didn't have a clue what that meant. Meant you got up before the sun rose. I looked all that up for you. I cried. I woke up and I cried. Have you ever wakened distressed? Oh! I'm pretty bouncy during the night. And if I'm bouncing too much, Wayne will say, He sleeps all night. Are you all right? And I'm inclined to say, no, I'm not all right. My knee hurts. My knee is killing me. I don't know why. We'd rather share our misery than stand in line for healing in the scripture. Has that happened to you? Well, you only share your misery with your 3 a.m. person, the one who's going to correct you and bless you and say, now, wait a minute, Brenda, let's think this through. I prevented the dawn. I woke up before dawn and cried. I don't know why I like that. It says, before the sun is up, my cry came for help, came to your ear, my hopes in your word. I woke up before dawn, cried to you for help. I want all that you promised in your word. The word of God works mightily. The word works. The word works. The word works. The word works. But it doesn't work if you ignore it. It's not automatic. Your dishwasher, you know, if you ever got up in the morning to unload your dishwasher and it wasn't running, nobody turned it on the night before? Well, we've done that. And you know why they weren't clean? We didn't mash the button. You haven't done that right. Y'all look so innocent today. And I know you're as guilty as I am. I know that. Well, when you wake up before dawn and you're so distressed and you're crying and you don't know what to do with yourself, get up and read the Word. Get up and walk around your island and pray in the Spirit. You don't do it, you won't get results. You do it. God says, I'll do exactly what I promised. Now turn over. So the Word gives joy. The Word gives peace. Look at peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace. Nothing shall offend them. Great peace. When you love the law, you love the Word, you're in the Word, you always have peace. If I lose my peace, I've lost track of the Word and the promise. And the only way I understand the promise is by the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word always work together. It's the Spirit that wrote the Word. It said men wrote of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, does great peace sound okay to you? Would you like to have peace beyond understanding? Would you like to have peace, peace, and more peace? Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Comes down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, with fathomless billows of peace. You should see our property after the hurricane. You should just see the property. It still looks like a disaster has hit, which a disaster did hit. And it looked like a tornado may have gone through. We have a whole line of trees, big trees, little trees, all gone. And Wayne, every now and then, he goes out and he does a little more work, a little more work. He's fixing to be 80. Did you know that? Well, that's later this year. He's not as strong as he was at 22, or 32, or 42, or 52, or 62. He's not as strong as he was at 72, though he was raised on a farm, and he has, we call, fertilizer-throwing muscles, because you take those bags off the back of the truck, and seed bags and so forth. So he's very strong, and everywhere he's been to be checked for this, that, and the other, they're amazed at how much strength he has. But he still gets distressed, and I'm the one that got really distressed over the big oak that fell down like this, that when you come down the driveway, that's the first thing you see is this massive oak on its side, now totally brown, hanging over the canal. We're behind a canal. It just really bothered me. It's so ugly. And I'd say to Wayne, that is so ugly. How many times did I say that? So he got out. We called the county because it was on over the canal, and they came and chopped. And we're glad they came, right down to the edge of the canal, and left us this part. They just chopped this little part that's hanging over the water. Now I am distressed. I couldn't get over it. I said, "It's so ugly. That is so ugly." Get your eye on the Word. Get your eye on the answer. Get your eye on the Spirit who explains the Word, who shows you things to come. See, He'll show you. You could be real, real happy about this if you got in the Word and let the Word guide you. Now, don't tell me you don't like to read, because I'm the world's winner of I don't like to read. I'm in first place. I do not like to read. I've got a stack of books on my library. I have a lot old-fashioned library table. You know what that is, but I have two of them. And it's about this one. These are all books that I bought to read. I haven't read any of them. I'm suddenly inspired. That is what I need to hear. I was just telling Suzanne, find me that book that's out about how teachers can teach to add faith and not take away faith. So there's some ways you can teach that will not help your class, but will hinder them. And I said, find that book for me. Find that book for me. And then after I told her that, I thought, I just put it on the library table with these others that I didn't read either. Got a wonderful book on prosperity, on how to prosper as a Christian. I know it's wonderful because they said it was, but I haven't read it. Wisdom is in the Word. The truth is in the Word. And guess who else is in the Word? You are. You are. No word, less answer. You got that part? Say, the Word is working in me. 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 Good news, isn't it? The Word is working. Working on the inside. showing up on the outside. The word is working.